You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. How you guys doing tonight? Lou and Chris?
Doing great. I'm doing great.
I'm good.
Awesome.
You know why I'm doing great?
I'm scared to ask now. It probably has something to do with me messing something up, or...
No. I say we're 10 days away from Rogue One.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's obviously a great thing. Yeah, okay.
I was just thinking about that. I was on the way home, and I'm in the car, and I'm like, that's next week. Yeah, it's finally next week.
Yes,
awesome.
We are under that 14-day thing. We've got one weekend where it's not Rogue One, and one weekend where it is. That's all that's left.
That's right. The other night, we were watching something on TV, and my wife and I, and Rogue One ad started. Fast forward. And she's like, "What? You don't want to watch that?" I'm like, no.
I can see Lou diving behind the couch like it's a military maneuver, and you know, there's incoming ordnance coming in. No! Dives over the back of the couch.
In my ears, la la la. I was like, "Whoa! I do not want to see that."
Yeah,
yeah. You know, I was actually watching. I think it was. Might have been at the end of last week. I was watching a football game on TV, and it was on ABC. And I just happened to see a Rogue One trailer or a TV spot, but it wasn't one of those like really quick TV spots that like shows like 2 seconds of footage at a time. Mm-hmm. It was like really long and drawn out. It was like a 45-second TV spot. And It showed a bunch of footage that I did not want to see.
And you watched it?
Well, I had to. It was right in front of me.
But close your eyes. Plug your ears.
you poke your eyes out. Yeah. Spray mace in your face.
My gosh.
That would have been funny.
Mace Windu. Spray Mace Windu.
You
want to
watch the Rogue One trailer?
You know, some people got to see the first 28 minutes.
You know, I saw that. And my first question is, okay, I don't want to see the first 24. I want to see the whole thing.
Well, right, but if you could see the first 28 minutes now in a theater...
No.
At Lucasfilm, like at Skywalker Ranch.
Wait, if it was at Lucasfilm, okay, it'd be different.
Well, that's where it was.
That's, yeah, Lucasfilm,
that's
be
how it happened.
Okay, well, let's say this, Lou, because obviously you'd want to go to Skywalker Ranch. So let's say you got to go to Skywalker Ranch, and then you could either watch the first 28 minutes or not.
I'd be hard-pressed. I would
honestly ask, is this a must or is it optional?
Well, let's assume it's optional.
I think I'd say no.
If it's optional, I would not watch it.
But it's not spoilers. It is the actual first 28 minutes of the film in the correct sequence.
I get that,
so there's not going to be...
I don't want to watch that now and have to wait 10 more days to get the rest of the movie.
But you're going to have to wait the next 10 days to get the rest of the movie anyway, so it's
right,
no loss.
I'd rather not,
like,
rather
that
not
part's
it.
Already going to happen, but the first 28 minutes you can get
There's other
now.
Analogies I can make, but this is a kid show. I mean,
no,
I don't want to start that process.
Man, I have to think that your analogy would break down somewhere, but we really should not explore that at all on this podcast.
No.
Wow.
No,
okay.
I mean, you'd want to watch the first 28 minutes and then not have anything for another week and a half?
I'm not going to have anything for another week and a half anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, but why tease yourself with the first 28 minutes?
I watched both the trailers. I mean, yeah, I'm teasing myself with knowing it's coming anyway. Like, the tease is already there.
I don't know. There's no sense poking the dragon.
You know, when book comes out, when any book comes out, I don't sit down and read the whole book in one sitting. I read part of it, and then
book,
I come back to it.
But a book is different. But a book is different.
How is a book? Well, yeah, it's not as visual.
Right. You can't just sit down and get the book in one concise two-hour time frame.
Right. And you can't sit down and get the whole movie in one concise 28-minute time frame. But you can get started on it. All right. You know, I want to hear from people out there. What would you do if you got a free trip to Skywalker Ranch and then it was optional? You could either sit and watch the first 28 minutes or not. I want to know what you guys would do. I'm very curious. So echobase@randomchatter.com. Send us an email. Let us know. Real quick, before we get started with the rest of the show here, because it's we have kind of an interesting show tonight, because as I'm doing up the show notes, I realized that it's all about future stuff and it's all kind of pretty negative. And I'm sure we can put a good spin on it. And you know, I don't think it's, you know, downer stuff necessarily, but it is negative stuff. So it's going to be an interesting episode. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
One thing that's not negative, though, a quick plug, the Cordcast got released earlier this morning. This is Monday, December 5th. And we have our interview with Clayton from Cell Dweller, from Circle of Dust, from Scandroid. It is very awesome. Been getting a lot of Twitter hits on it today, which I'm told by my younger social media experts that that's a good thing.
Yes.
Okay. I thought like hitting a little bird was a bad thing, but I guess getting hits on this is good. I don't. Joel in the chat room. Does Skywalker Ranch have a bar in their cinema? You know, that's a really good question. I have to imagine that if, like, in their screening room, they do offer some kind of refreshments. A bar, perhaps? That maybe not. But I don't know. What if they don't have concessions? Wouldn't it be an awesome job to be the person working the concession stand for the theater at Skywalker Ranch? You'd only have to do it, like, once every month, I guess, one time. But it'd be, you know, Spielberg would walk up and say, "Ah, oh, yeah, get me some of the the milk duds and large popcorn, just a little bit of butter, not too much butter." And, I mean, that would be awesome, right? Okay, it wouldn't be awesome. It'd be more awesome to be in the theater with everybody. But of course, why not? Awesome, because the concession stand will be closed then. So why can't the concession guy then go in and watch the movie with everybody else? You know,
good point. Although someone's going to want to go up and get more popcorn.
Well, that's their problem.
Yeah.
They should have thought that through ahead of time. I wonder if when they're watching movies at Skywalker Ranch and George Lucas is there, if he has to get up and go to the bathroom, do they pause the movie? Because really, they can, right? And it's only going to be like a minute or two. And I'm sure it's not like he has to walk down six hallways to get to the restroom. I don't know. I guess I've never really thought about this before. So, and how big is the restroom there? Because it's not like they need a huge restroom, like they've got multiple screens and stuff. But you know how you go to the theater and once the movie breaks, there's like 35 people in the restroom right afterwards. Do they have that problem at Skywalker Ranch too?
I don't know.
I think about these things.
You have way too much time on your hands.
Yeah, we got to fix that. All right, Chris, you threw something into the introduction here in the show notes. What's up with this?
So I was browsing Twitter earlier this evening, and I saw that Ashley Eckstein posted something where if you purchase something her universe related on HotTopic.com, you get for free an Ahsoka Tano holiday pin and...
Oh. Nice.
A card signed and numbered by Ashley.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Supplies last.
Okay. So by the time people are hearing this episode, supplies probably haven't been lasting.
This was actually announced last week, I think. I saw somebody tweeting about it last week about getting the pin. I didn't know about the signed card, but
okay.
Pins were still available Sunday, maybe, or Saturday.
Yeah, I knew the pin was supposed to be an ongoing thing. I did not know about the card.
Yeah.
That is really awesome.
You know, I am just speaking of the whole pin thing, I've gotten into collecting the pins. I don't know why, but I have. They're really cool. I just wish I lived near the park so I could get pins all the time. But
yeah, no kidding.
They show, have you seen the holiday pins they have? Like, if you just Google Star Wars holiday pins, there's tons of them out there.
Oh, gosh, no. I don't ever Google that because then I would be even more broke than I already am.
Wow, there's a cool story.
I got to draw the line somewhere. Well, you know, we happen to know people who live near both the one in Florida and I think the one in California, too.
I know.
But we've got these people on staff. Why are we not milking them for everything they're worth?
Start mailing checks out to people, though. It's going to be really expensive.
Well, that's true.
If I don't do it, I just can, you know, lament about it and whine.
Well, yeah. And whining, it's fun. There's a certain art to whining. We have perfected that art here at Echo Base, I think. Or if not, we might in this episode. Looking at the news here, we've got some stuff from Kathleen Kennedy about stuff that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then in our discussion segment, we've got a couple of things that we're going to talk about for the saga, the episodes. And they're kind of negative. There's only one item here in the news that's not negative, and I bet there are people out there who will see it as negative. I bet there are.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
See, I was going to say, I don't really see anything negative in the show notes at all, so I can't wait to start talking about this.
Okay, well, let's jump right in. George Lucas apparently has seen Rogue One. Not surprising. And apparently, he really likes it. The director, Gareth Edwards, said, 2 days ago, we got to show George the movie, and we all had a phone call, and I got to speak with him yesterday. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I can honestly say that I can die happy now. He really liked the movie. It meant a lot. To be honest, and no offense to anyone here, it was the most important review to me. You know, you guys are important too, but he's kind of God. I will take that conversation to my grave. His opinion means the world to me. So
awesome.
Now I'm sure there are people out there, some of the prequel haters, who are going to say, well, if George liked the movie, it must not be very good because he hated TFA and TFA was good. So yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there are people having that conversation right now, but I mean, honestly, this is promising. This is a good thing. And if you want to get that way about it, George liked A New Hope and I like A New Hope. George liked Empire Strikes Back, and Empire Strikes Back still like the number one Star Wars movie.
Yep.
So, you know.
Hey, the guy has taste. I mean.
Yeah.
Say what you want to about the prequels, but the guy has taste, and he's given us a beautiful universe to play in. And if he likes what Gareth did with this movie, I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's the good news. Well, and like you said, Lou, the rest of this could be good news as well. It's just, it's negative, and it could be good that it's negative. Like, it's...
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, this next story, I mean, negative is in, we're not going to get something.
Right.
To me is...
Beneficial.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great.
Okay, so the first thing we're not going to get, according to Kathleen Kennedy, who, of course, has been doing interviews and stuff recently, she says that there is no sequel to Rogue One coming down the pipe.
Yay.
Quote from her, you know, when we came up with this idea to do the standalone movies, what's liberating in many ways is the notion that we can come up with these stories inside the Star Wars universe that really have a beginning, middle, and an end, and they truly stand on their own, and Rogue One does. So, there you go. There's not going to be a Rogue Two, not that it would be called Rogue Two, but, you know, there's not going to be a Rogue One Part Two. Or Rogue One 2, which would be Rogue 12.
Rogue One squared.
There you go.
I just hope that this news doesn't mean that they won't do any more military-style movies in the future.
No, I don't think that's what she's saying at all. I mean, I think this is just, we're not going to get another movie with this cast.
Yeah, the context was specifically, like Lou said, it's specifically like, here's a story. The story has a beginning, middle, and end. There's no prequel. There's no sequel. This is the story about Rogue One and about the Death Star and about all that.
which I think is fantastic. I mean, if they want to do another movie about another part of the rebellion around the same time, great. It doesn't have to it doesn't have to fit into this movie in any way, though.
Right.
You know, I think that's where things get kind of dicey down the road, is when you start making everything fit together and you start tying these stories so tightly that now you can't make a change here and there. It makes it hard to make sequels. It makes the sequels seem contrived some way. You know, I'm happy this is a complete story. We're going to be done with it and not have to worry about waiting for the next one.
Yeah.
Except the next one will be another standalone movie all by itself.
You know, I say all that stuff, though. There is a prequel, technically. Have you guys finished Catalyst yet?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. I'm going to try to finish it before seeing Rogue One. But Lou,
I'm on my second listen.
Your second listen?
Yeah, I've got about 5 hours left on the second time. I wanted to listen to it again. Well, I have, you know, half hour each way in the commute in the morning and night. So.
Well, yeah, but...
I thought it was a good book. I mean, it's not my favorite work by Lucino, but I think it set things up really well. It gives me a really good understanding of who Jin's father was, and I am happy. I mean, it gave me a sense of, you know, I've said this before in a show, I want to know what's going on in the universe. I want to know what things are taking place in the greater scheme of the overall galaxy. And this really does set the tone for what's going on between, you know, the separatists and the Empire or the Republic at the time and becoming the Empire and how those, you know, machinations happened and where players were, who was doing what at what time. It covered a lot of ground.
Good.
So okay. I'm really excited about this movie, this story, and the way it led up to the movie.
Okay.
So I have a question for you, Lou.
Yes.
If this movie, or if this book was turned into a movie, would it be interesting? Or would it make for a good movie?
Are you saying, would it stand on its own?
Not necessarily stand on its own.
Okay.
Well, there's not as much of an action component to the book as there is to, you know, Star Wars movies we're used to seeing. So this would be more of a, not really a thriller, but I mean, I'm not sure it would make a good movie, to tell you the truth. It's backstory. It's filling in the details. It's giving me context to who the players were, you know, why Jin's father did what he did. What he ended up doing, I'm trying not to give anything away, but you know, what he ended up doing as part of the Death Star program, the need for the battle station in the beginning, how it came about, how it got to where it is now, you know, but would it make a good movie? No, it would probably make a really good TV series. You know, I mean, you wouldn't be able to have 1 2-hour movie, but a bunch of short, you know, hour long episodes of different things going on, I think would be kind of cool.
Okay.
You know, keep in mind, though, something about would books make for good movies. I remember back when they were making The Firm. I forget who the director was, but this was the movie with Tom Cruise. He was playing a lawyer.
Lawyer, yep.
And there was a really intense scene in the book where Tom Cruise had broken into, I think, a rival law firm or some place somewhere, and was rapidly photocopying a bunch of documents and trying to sneak out before security found him. And of course, this is back in the day before the internet and all that. And the director was saying, listen, you know, he was citing this scene from the book. And he said, you know, we didn't put that in the movie. We had to change things in the movie because while that makes for a really gripping moment in the book, you can't write that. You can't just show that on screen and have that be exciting. You can write it in a book and it can be absolutely riveting and you can be right on the edge of your seat because it works in that medium. It doesn't work in the medium of film. So would Catalyst make a good film? I don't know. It seems like a lot of James Luceno's books, if you look at Darth Plagueis, I don't think Darth Plagueis would have made a good film.
No.
And yet it's one of the best Star Wars books of all time. So I think part of it, you know, I mean, it's a legitimate question. I was curious about the same thing, I guess. And there are some books that would make good films. In fact, there are probably some books that would make better films than they did books. But, just something to keep in mind about you know, don't take what Lou said about that and consider that a down point, because.
Right, right. And I'm not saying it should be any kind of visual medium. I think it works really well as what it is, and it sets the tone for what's coming up.
Right. Okay. Another thing that at that same interview, someone had asked Kennedy about the possibility of any of the characters from Rogue One returning, and she said, doubtful.
Which means they all die.
Which means they don't all die necessarily. But it just sounds like they're not interested in, like, they're really interested in closing the book on that. They're not interested in sub-franchising Rogue One. Like, they kind of did with Clone Wars because they had to, because it's a TV series. They have with Rebels because it's a TV series. Otherwise,
right?
This is not something they're going to apparently do that with.
And you know, I take this as really good news because I don't want to have to... you shouldn't have to create a new franchise for this. It's a story. It's told and it's done and we're going to be happy.
But when people have something they want, they inevitably want more.
Yeah, with new characters and new ships and a new story. That's
you're
what
right.
I want.
No, you're right. I agree. Like, we didn't have Rogue One before. So this is the new reality, characters and new ships and new story. And now we have it and they want more of that until the next time they get new characters and new ships and new story. And then they're going to want more of that one, but not going to keep getting those.
It's
unless...
like the way they do waves of ships for X-Wing. It's like, you know, before the next one hits the stores, they announce the one after that.
Right.
And now I'm looking forward to that one before I even get the ones that I was looking forward to last month. You know, it's like,
right.
Oh, those are really cool. Oh, but these are coming out, but those are really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, in reality, there already is a sequel to Rogue One.
Yeah.
It's called Star Wars, A New Hope.
A New Hope. Yep. All right, next up, Kennedy said we should not expect animated characters in our live-action films. And by that, I don't mean like Pete's Dragon or Mary Poppins sort of thing. I mean, we should not be expecting to see the cast of Rebels in Episode 8 or in Rogue One. There appears to be nothing indicating that we're going to see Ezra, Sabine, etc. on the big screen. The quote she had here, you know, that really isn't the approach that we have. We don't sit down and start isolating a list of characters and then build stories around those. We really are starting with the stories themselves, and then if some of those characters might come into what it is we want to do or say, we'll consider it. But it's not part of the strategy, no. So, obviously, Saw Gerrera was one of those characters. They started with the stories. He was one of those, quote, characters that might come in to what it is we want to do or say. So there you go. He was obviously from the Clone Wars series. But as far as getting Ahsoka, chances are probably not.
I actually like this idea just because when I watch an animated show, I associate the voice with the face. Mm. And if I saw something live action and I didn't see the correct voice, even if they had an actor that looked like Kanan or Ezra or someone... but it wasn't the voice actor speaking, I would not really enjoy that. It would take me out of the movie.
I know, but like, here's the thing. Put Twi'lek Tales on, excuse me, Leku, on Vanessa Marshall, and you've got Hera.
Yeah.
And the same thing with most of the other characters, Sabine and Ezra and et cetera. They've captured enough of the likeness of the actual voice actors in... the character design, and if not even in the design, then at least in the mannerisms and the expressions and things like that, that, I mean, just put them on film.
Mm.
You know, I know Freddie Prinze Jr. has never been on a big screen before, but, you know, this might be a good opportunity for him. I'm kidding. Tia Sakaar has been in films recently that people probably don't even know about, but, you know, They've got acting, most of them have acting experience beyond just voice acting. Put them on the screen. And, you know, get Ashley up there as Ahsoka.
But, you know, I like this quote from Kathleen in the fact that they're not trying to force it. You know, if it happens, great. And I like that approach because I don't want to have to see them go, okay, we got to write a scene to have Ezra in it. And then have that feel forced into the movie that shouldn't be there. You know, if it works and it can make it work, great.
Right. But so give her a story. Like, give, write her a story. Right,
but it doesn't have to be in Rogue One. It could be
No. I mean, yeah, no. Don't put her in Rogue One. Don't put her in Episode 8 necessarily either. But maybe put her in Ahsoka, a Star Wars story.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That would be, you know, a purpose-built story for that character.
Right.
But trying to, you know, do fan service and put, you know, characters from Rebels into Episode 8 or into Rogue One or anything else they're doing that's not their story, to me, feels like just fan service.
Right. And that should be avoided. You know, I hate to say that as a fan. And yeah, I've got a list of things I want to see in these films. But you kind of have to just let go of it. And you take what you get and you enjoy what you can and you get past the things you don't like. Because it's not your vision put on film.
It's like having, you know, the upcoming, bad time to draw a blank.
It's like lens flares in Star Trek. If you don't like lens flares, make your own Star Trek film. In the meantime, you got this one. Enjoy what you like of it. Deal with what you don't and move on. I don't know. I just throwing that out there. But yeah,
it's like doing a new story with Thrawn. I mean, obviously we're getting a book and he's in Rebels now.
Uh-huh.
Is that fan service? Maybe, but they're doing something more with it than just putting him in as trying to placate people that wanted the EU, you know?
Right. He doesn't have a walk-on role in the background It isn't like, you know,
it's going to be a real thing now.
Yeah. He's involved. And he's involved in a way that the uniqueness of his character means something. So there you go. I mean, that's the right way to do it. And if you're not going to do it that way, then you're running into C-3PO and R2-D2 early in season one of Rebels.
Right.
So, all right. I mean, I would like to see Ahsoka and I'd like to see some of the Rebels crew. And I don't think we're going to.
I would like their existence acknowledged in some way.
I think the Rebels crew, it would have been pretty easy to have them have cameos in Rogue One. I would be okay with if it's like back at the base or something like that, because they are already involved. It would not be that big of a surprise to see, you know, Hera walking over to a ship in the docks or something. Or
right, but then you have fans saying, well, "Why don't we get to see more of them? Why don't we get to see them?"
They're already saying that, though. You're right, Lou. But we're already saying that, so it's not like that's going to change.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, having Snap Wexley in The Force Awakens, he was mainly just at that briefing room. But I don't know. All right, let's move on to Episode 8 and 9. Our discussion topics for this week. First of all, we just have one discussion topic, but there's something else I wanted to throw in here. Excuse me. Now that Rogue One is about to hit the theaters, we're going to start talking a lot about Episode 8. Just like when The Force Awakens hit the theaters, we started to move on to Rogue One. So I'm going to throw this out there now. I think I don't remember whether I had previously or not, but hey, this is a perfect time. Before The Force Awakens came out, we made predictions. And I predicted that one of the main characters was going to die, specifically one of the big three. And while I said early on that it made sense to do Mark Hamill, I picked Han. Because from a production standpoint, it made sense to do Han. And I was right. So I'm going to double down. I'm going to say that in either Episode 8 or 9, they kill Luke. I'll say it'll probably be 8. And this less from a production point of view and more from a story content point of view.
I highly doubt that.
Okay.
So before I respond, I'm curious as to why you think that. Aside from, you know, we're trying to bring in new characters,
Okay.
From a story perspective, why do you think that?
All right. I could have sworn that I talked about this on Echo Base before. If not on Echo Base, it might have been somewhere else. But they are, I think that they are mirroring what happened with the original trilogy. And even if they don't mirror things, it makes sense. When you've got a story that kind of follows the hero's journey, and the hero has a mentor, you have to either kill or incapacitate the mentor. Because otherwise, whatever the big climax at the end of the trilogy is going to be, Luke will just walk in and mop the floor. And it's not Luke's story, it's Rey's story. Rey has to be the one who ends up being the hero at the end. Rey is the hero whose journey we're following. If they don't kill Luke, or if they don't otherwise get Luke out of the way somehow, then you run the danger of diminishing Rey's importance. They have to kill Luke. Now, beyond just that, and I think that that's, in my personal opinion, that's good enough. But beyond that, you've got Yoda dying in Empire Strikes Back. You've got Obi-Wan dying in A New Hope. Obi-Wan's mentor, Qui-Gon, he died in Phantom Menace. So you've got this passing of the torch is not just, you know, hey, I'm going to go retire and sit around on the beach for the next 20 years. Like this progression of, you know, one hero to the next, you kind of have to get rid of the one that comes before. And they have done enough with The Force Awakens and seem to be doing enough going forward with paying homage to what came before, if not duplicating it. I disagree with the people who feel like The Force Awakens, not only do I disagree, I'm kind of confused by the people who feel like The Force Awakens was just a blatant ripoff of A New Hope. I mean, similarities and a ripoff, those are two different things. One indicates it's similar and one indicates it's exactly duplicate. But anyway, that's a whole different discussion.
See, I think you...
Go ahead.
I think you can have Rey as important without killing Luke off. And I don't think that they will kill Luke. They might do it in episode 9 and I would be fine with it, at least from a story perspective. But I also think that doing it in episode 8 will be not only a disservice really to Mark Hamill, but to people that were really expecting to see more of Luke in the sequel trilogy. I mean, we got a whole movie, that being The Force Awakens, with Han. And he was an important, crucial part. We saw him have action scenes and good dialogue and character interactions and whatnot. I think we need to have the same thing for Luke, and I don't think episode 8 will be that. So I would much rather him, if he dies, it happen in episode 9, because I think if they do it in 8, it's a huge mistake.
Well, here's the thing. One thing they haven't touched on yet is Force Ghosts. Now, they didn't really exist in the prequel trilogy, though they kind of did at the very, very end, and they kind of, you know, spoke to that as...
Yeah, they alluded to it, yeah.
Right, as a way to... well, I mean, even more so than just merely alluding to it, like, Qui-Gon actually spoke, and it was actually, you know, it was directly brought up and then led into the original trilogy. If we don't see any Force Ghost in this part of the saga, it's going to seem like an oversight. And who are the candidates? Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Anakin. And we may see one of those three. But it would seem to make sense to pass that torch to Luke. So I could see them killing Luke in episode 8 and then Luke coming back as a Force Ghost in episode 9. If they do it in the same movie, if they kill him off in episode 9 and have him come back as a Force Ghost in episode 9, it will feel a little rushed, I think. I kind of feel like it makes more sense for pacing to put it in episode 8 and then the Force Ghost in episode 9. And I know he doesn't have to be a Force Ghost, but I think they will.
But I think, too, that if you remember from the original trilogy, we just saw Luke as really a Jedi figure in 6. We really did. We saw it a little bit in 5, but, you know, that was, you know, obviously not a lot. We didn't really see him in his prime, and we're not going to see him in his prime because the Luke we see in The Force Awakens is, we're assuming, long past, you know, his heyday as a Jedi.
Right.
But I think that there is a really good story opportunity for exploring parts of, like, Master Jedi in terms of, like, maybe Force powers that we've not seen before. Because, you know, we're used to seeing, like, when we think of a Jedi Master, we think of, like, Yoda flipping around and doing acrobatic things with Count Dooku. But even then, Yoda is still old. Mm-hmm. I think that they could really bring something new to not only the Jedi as a whole, but really the Force, and really show us a level of power that Luke has discovered in his time, you know, after Return of the Jedi and in exile, that, you know, we've never seen before. And I think if you kill him off in 8, then you're pretty much, you're missing out on that. And even if you do show a little bit of it, you're not using that full potential, you know?
Unless he continues to reveal it in 9.
Well, yeah, but then...
How much are you going to really use him as a Force Ghost, though? Yeah. Force Ghosts haven't been a real prominent character in any of the sagas so far. So, you know, if you're going to have a Force Ghost and they stick to the same rules they've done, you probably wouldn't have them on screen for more than a couple minutes.
I don't know. Obi-Wan had a decent amount of screen time in Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi on Dagobah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say a decent amount of time. I mean, he was there, but it wasn't like he had interactions with characters over a course of 15 minutes. It was, you know, a couple lines of dialogue.
And I think the reason that we're fine with that is because we saw him in the entirety, pretty much the entirety of A New Hope and all 3 prequels, plus the Clone Wars.
Okay. Well, I will concede that aspect of the point, but I stand by the fact that I believe that they will kill Luke, and I believe it'll be in episode 8 rather than 9.
I mean, I think you're right. I think they will kill off Luke. I mean, I think it makes sense. When they do that, I don't know. I mean, I guess it would make sense to do it at the end of 8 as a, you know, big shocking reveal, and then right, leading into, you know, making us wait to episode 9. Otherwise, where would you do it? You know, if you did it in 9, like you said, you have to do it right away, or else it would feel like it was just too quick for the Force Ghost to appear if they're going to do that. And it really is Rey's story, but you need to have that passing of the knowledge from Luke mm-hmm. to Rey.
Right.
So, Eric, I have a question.
Okay.
Let's assume for a minute that Luke would die in episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, even though you think this will happen, is there a part of you, or is there something that would happen during the movie, like, let's say, screen time or level of involvement in the story, where you would be disappointed and upset that it happened?
Is there a point or a condition in which I would be upset that they kill Luke?
Like, okay, I'll use TFA for an example.
Uh-huh.
Let's say that Han Solo doesn't show up until they go on to Starkiller Base.
Mm-hmm.
So, third act of the movie. And then he is barely there, and then he just dies.
Yeah, I would definitely be disappointed if we didn't see a good amount of Luke in the movie, at least 2 of the 3 acts. And and I agree with what you said. Absolutely. You are 100% on the mark when you say that, like, there needs to be a presence from Mark Hamill in this film. I am all about not catering to fan expectations, but, like, there has to be a presence from Luke.
So what you're saying is it would be bad if episode 8 starts out where, you know, he takes the lightsaber from Rey and it starts to rain and he goes, oh, let's get down and get inside the Falcon and leave. And he slips on the stone stairs and falls and dies.
Falls all the way down the cliff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be bad, right?
That would be bad. Okay. That would be bad.
I'm just making sure.
The other thing I was going to say is exactly that. Like, if his death ends up being cheesy.
It's going to be meaningful.
Yeah, it's got to be meaningful. I mean, Han's death was, I felt like Han didn't have as much screen time as I would have liked. I don't think he had too little. It's just not as much as I wanted. Mm. But I like even his death, it was meaningful, but I kind of feel like it was a little too soon. I don't know. Like, I feel like it should have been in episode 8, maybe, but yeah, just make it meaningful. Make it serve the story and the development of the other characters. That's the most important thing. But either way, you know, I could be wrong. And we'll see.
You know, I will say this. You know, Han's death for you was different than Han's death for me, because I didn't know it was coming.
That's true.
You know, I mean, from someone who did not have that spoiled for him, I thought it was a very weighty moment in the movie, and it felt good and it felt right. I mean, it was set up nicely, and it was, wow. It was kind of a, ooh, okay, they went there, you know?
Yeah, as soon as he shouted, Ben, I'm like, oh, no. No, this is the scene. I don't want to watch this. Yeah, you're right. And of any of the things that I wish I hadn't gotten spoiled, it's that. So, and you know, we talk about spoilers. I don't think I've ever seen Lost being perhaps the big exception, but that's more of a TV series. Movies are a little bit different. I don't think I've ever had a movie where I've gotten stuff spoiled where I've had the whole thing spoiled. Like, there's always still been something to hold out for. And I didn't have that with The Force Awakens. I had literally everything spoiled plus other things that didn't even make it into the movie. So we've talked before, like, I've been trying to stay spoiler free for Rogue One. I'm probably going to take it a lot easier with episode 8 than I did episode 7. And I think it'll be easier this time around too, because there hasn't been a big gap films.
Yeah, there's not the same level of, you know, fever pitch to get stuff at this movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have Rogue One kind of a distraction to keep us entertained while they work on the post-production of episode 8.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the way, when did we get a title for TFA?
Good question.
I don't know.
I'm kind of surprised we've not got a title yet. I know this is off topic, but I just kind of thought of it.
I mean, it was well before now.
Yeah, because it was before the trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was before the trailer.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah. And yes, chat room, if I said that Yoda died in ESB instead of Return of the Jedi, I know. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. And see, yes, that, spoiler, Han dies.
That is a, speaking of Yoda, that is something that I wouldn't mind if they
killed Yoda again.
Like a prominent role in Empire, but I think it was good enough to where, you know, when you killed him in, or when he died really in Return of the Jedi, it didn't feel forced and it didn't feel like we didn't see enough of him. I just think that Luke, if he dies, it has to be in 9 and he has to have a significant amount of time in 8. Otherwise, I think, because you're really, you've already pushed the buttons of some fans just making a sequel trilogy that's not the expanded universe. Then you push some more buttons, even people that liked TFA and liked the Disney purchase and stuff, you already made it a little bit worse by not having Luke until the very last scene of the movie. You can't just have him as a little bit part role in 8 and really expect the fans to be okay with that. I don't care how good your story is or how, you know, great you think it is that, you know, or how important you think it is that Luke dies or isn't, you know, a major part of the plot. Mm-hmm. And moving it along in character development, I really, really think that you need to do it really for fan's sake.
Right.
And I know that's bad for movie production, but whatever.
We should move into the other discussion topic here. Looks like we've got about 15 minutes left, 15 or so. So speaking of episode 9 and Luke, Kennedy also said that one of the discussions they're having is whether or not episode 9 could be the final episode in the saga, in the Skywalker saga. She has not said that that has been decided. The question was broached to her, and she said, it is one of the things that is being talked about. Where do we go from here? Do we continue doing this? Do we move into other things? So, are we okay with episode 9 being the end of this saga? Now, keep in mind, Rey and Finn and Poe have been introduced here, so there are ways in which to carry things forward. Do we want an entirely new saga with an ongoing storyline, or do we want standalone one-shots or standalone trilogies, like a trilogy that is just three films, not related to anything else in Star Wars, and then, you know, you close the book, and then you move on to another section of Star Wars. Like, where would you guys like to see things go? First of all, in regard to the current saga itself, and then second of all, if the saga were to end, where do you go from here?
You go first, Lou.
Ha ha! Oh, thanks.
See, that's the thing. Whoever goes first gets to say the other guy has to go first, and you waited too long, Lou.
I know. I was thinking. You know, I'm okay with the Skywalker saga ending. I mean, I would have been okay with it ending after, you know, the last movies we got. Six movies is probably enough. If 7, 8, and 9 are a new chapter in the Skywalker storyline, well, I guess that's a little different. But you know, I think it was it Justin that coined the term, you know, the galaxy far, far away is seeming like, you know, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about how everything is so tightly controlled, there's a huge galaxy out there. We can do all kinds of other stories. And I'm kind of in favor of just having these being, you know, one-off movies without having a trilogy attached to each one of them. I you know, we could just do 10 different individual movies over the next 10 years.
Okay. Well,
and I'd be happy with that.
Let's throw this out here. The Rogue One movie is a spinoff. And I know that is a taboo term that we are not supposed to be using. But the reality is, it's a spinoff film. It's a film that's supported by events that we're already familiar with. And even if it stands completely on its own as its own story, and if Star Wars never existed as a saga, perhaps Rogue One still could have been introduced as its own just unique story that nobody knew about going into. The reality is, production wise and box office wise, it is still a spinoff of the main saga. The Han Solo movie is a spinoff. If we get a Kenobi movie, if we eventually get the Boba Fett movie that apparently was actually a thing, and we would have gotten a teaser of it at Celebration Anaheim right after the Rogue One in that same panel that we... Ugh, I'm so mad. Anyway, that would be a spinoff. So to spin things off of something, you still have to have something there from which to spin them. Now, if there's no more saga films, then yeah, we still have the saga films. But at some point, I think people are still going to be itching for something that is more epic. And trilogies are always going to be more epic than standalone movies.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of liken this to the whole James Bond thing, though. I mean, the James Bond saga, if you will, is epic. And the movies are grandiose, but they don't tie into each other besides the fact they have the same characters. You know, very, very little in one movie plays off of what's in the next movie.
Okay.
And it works really well.
But if you took those characters out and replaced them with different characters, then you don't have a James Bond franchise. Like, the story actually is not... So, again, if you were going to use that analogy with Star Wars, you would still have to at least have the same characters continuing on, even if the story is completely independent.
Yeah, okay, I see your point there. I'll concede that a little bit, I guess.
Like, we don't have a James Bond movie about M. Or we don't have a James Bond movie about whoever the female co-star was in Casino Royale.
Right, right. No, I hear what you're saying. Okay. You know, I will. I'll come around your way of thinking on that, I suppose.
Oh, my way of thinking is very conflicted, so I advise you not to come around to my way of thinking.
I just don't think we need another. I mean, I almost look at this Skywalker saga as a soap opera, and it's like, you know, we can get off this and go into something else.
Well, it is. It is. Star Wars is a space opera. It's a space fantasy opera. It's not traditional science fiction. Well, not yet. Again, the spinoffs can be whatever they want to be. And again, that's also a good thing. We could make Star Wars be science fiction. We could make it be not a space opera. But So first of all, if they close this saga, I kind of feel like you could do a saga moving forward with Rey and Finn and Poe Dameron and all that, assuming Rey isn't related to any Skywalker, and have it not be the Skywalker saga. Have it be its own new saga going forward for a while and cover that generation, and then have something different. Like, I still feel like there needs to be a continuity of story somewhere in the galaxy. The galaxy needs to proceed. And I feel like as long as we're seeing the galaxy proceed, I'm okay with it. In the books, in Legends, granted, I admit that some of the later novels were not as good, and maybe they were way too long in these 6 to 9 part book series. But I like the fact that it always felt like we were still moving forward. And I liked Jaina and Jag. And I liked the new characters that were being brought up. It didn't have to be about Luke and Leia and Han. They were always there because they're the most marketable. But as long as there's like a story that keeps going, like a universe that keeps going, instead of feeling like we're getting a whole bunch of different snapshots from around the universe, then I'm okay. I want the snapshots, but I don't just want like the story to end. And okay, the story has ended. And the only ongoing story there could have been was about the Skywalkers. But now we're going to go and do all these little cleanup pieces and all these snapshots of what else was going on around the galaxy. To me, that feels a little bit short-sighted. I'm cool with the snapshots. And I 100% agree with, as you said, Lou, I think it was Justin who used to say that, you know, the galaxy far, far away feels like it's right next door, because it was always focused on such a small group of people. I agree emphatically with that. But have the saga continue with Rey. Have the saga continue with whoever's two generations after Rey. Like, have the world of Star Wars, the galaxy, have it continue going. Not just having it pause while we go look at what was happening at a whole bunch of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that would be bad. It's just not what I want, I guess, as a fan.
I think they really need to think carefully about what they mean by Skywalker saga.
And those are my words, not Kennedy's, just to be clear.
Well, that, yeah. But
they call it the saga. But
I there have been times in the past where it's been referred to as the Skywalker story.
Well, that's true.
I think that the way I see it is that you have episodes 1, 2, and 3, that's Anakin's story. 4, 5, and 6, that is Anakin / Vader and Luke's story all at the same time. It's not Luke. It's not. I'm don't care what anyone says. It's not Luke's story, because it's not just about him. It's about Vader and how Anakin is, how that's combined. I think that TFA and 8 and 9 will be about Luke. Even if he dies in 8, he will still have influence in 9 in some way or another. It doesn't matter if Rey is a Skywalker or not. That's just, I think that even if you make Rey 100% all about her, even if episode 9 is like doesn't even have Luke or anybody at all, and she is a Skywalker, I still think it's Luke's story. Because that it started with finding Luke. He was the main point of, you know, we always go back to what the J.J. Abrams was, what his motivation for making TFA was, who is Luke Skywalker. And I think that that's that Star Wars symmetry that, you know, it starts with one, then you have a combination, and then it ends with one. I think that after episode 9, regardless of whether or not Rey is a Skywalker, I don't think she is, but that's beside the point. I think that they need to have some kind of separation. Like, just end Luke and Vader's involvement and influence right there.
I agree with you on that point. I don't agree with you that 7, 8, and 9 are about Luke. I understand what you're saying. It has merit.
It may not be about Luke, but the entirety of the trilogy as a whole is about Luke. Because even 4, 5, and 6, yeah, it was looking through Luke's eyes for the most part, but it was about Vader and his redemption.
I'll see the fact that it's, if nothing else, it's about Luke handing off the torch. So that makes it as much about Luke as it does make it about to whomever he hands the torch, I guess. So, but I guess my concern is if they end this saga and they put a nail in the coffin and they're like, okay, this is done. Regarding Luke, that's great. But why does it need, like, just for the sake of decisiveness, why does it have to be Rey? Like, let's say they decide to make a new saga in Star Wars going forward, which I support. I kind of feel like they just introduced Rey. Rey can be the new saga. So
that's
why cut her off?
I think that's where they're going with it. But what I was getting at was after these three movies, I mean, 7, 8, and 9, that story's done. And maybe it's the Luke / Rey story. And then at the end of 9, you know, where do we stand? Are we, you know, where's the universe stand? Where is the First Order? Where is the New Republic? You know, do we go on in that direction from there? Which I hope they do. I hope we get more story down the road. You know, I mean, maybe I said it wrong when I said I don't want to have another saga continuing. You can do all these standalone movies that now take wherever episode 9 leaves us and gives us information about the formation of a new government or the formation of the new enemy, you know, on the horizon. You know, you can go anywhere with that. And that would still move the Star Wars story along. I guess I'm looking for a Star Wars saga, not just a, you know, a family saga, a Rey saga, a, you know, a Skywalker saga. I want there to be more to it than just that one family, you know?
Right.
I want this to be about the universe in general.
I agree with you, Lou. The reason I said there was a separation after 9 is because you really can't watch The Force Awakens and understand it and understand the galaxy as a whole and where the characters have been without watching 1 through 6. And I think the best way for, at least for Star Wars to move forward, is you don't want to have trilogy after trilogy after trilogy and eventually have like an episode 20. But in order to understand what's going on in episode 20, you have to watch the trilogy before that and then the trilogy before that and the one before that.
That's a really good point. I don't want
to. That's why I don't want that. There needs to be like 9 nine movies is it's long, but it fits.
Yeah. And you do have to see.
It makes sense.
You do have to see what came before, really, in order to appreciate The Force Awakens. I don't want to sit down with my grandchildren someday and say, oh, you want to see the new Star? You want to see episode 12? Well, you got 11 other movies you have to catch up with first.
Right.
Yeah. Let's say that Rey, Finn, and Poe all survive this sequel trilogy.
Well, let's hope so.
Well, yeah, I certainly hope so. And let's say that you want to have them as the main three, 5-10 years after episode 9, in terms of like movie years, not filmmaking years. And you don't want that to connect with the previous saga because you want it to start over again, kind of. But you don't really want an episode 1. This is where I'm conflicted with my own thoughts. You can't say, okay, we're going to start a new trilogy or a new saga starring Rey, Finn, and Poe. And it's not going to be related to anything that happened in the previous movies. Like that's kind of just like backstory. And it's not going to be imperative to understanding what's happening in, let's say, episode 10. But you can't, you still need to have that separation, but you can't call it episode 10 because that's still technically part of the saga. Or the saga before it, if that makes sense.
Right.
But you can't say, oh, it's episode 1 because then you have that whole confusion thing. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to make Star Wars 1 now.
So it's going to have to be Star Wars, A New Dawn, Part 1. or something like that. They're going to have to
The thing they have to avoid as filmmakers is that, like Eric was saying, you don't want to have to have somebody say, oh, I want to see the new Star Wars movie. Well, you got to watch these first 11 movies first. It's got to be accessible. It can't be so daunting that, I'm not going to start the movie because I don't want to watch the first, 20 movies to catch up.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of us dropped out of the EU down the road, because there was so many books coming out. You got behind. I'm like, I'm not going to read all those books. I just don't have time.
Right.
You don't want to make the movies that inaccessible that fans give up on it, or new fans won't start it, I should say, because there's too much homework to do to get to where you need to be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think I think you're missing an opportunity and even kind of diluting the franchise, if you ask me, just by doing standalones.
Because I agree.
Then you have to build around this and the nine movies. You can't go forward and say we're doing a spinoff about 30 years after Return of the or after Episode 9, because you're like, well, why don't you just make this a saga and not just a standalone? Like, what else is going on aside from this quote unquote spinoff?
Right.
It's a very tricky situation, and I don't think that Disney bought Lucasfilm just to make three movies and some spinoffs.
No.
And no, I don't think so either. Yeah.
If we want Star Wars to continue in a healthy and productive way without selling out the franchise, then they need to think very carefully about how they're going to approach the main film.
Well, and as we've said before, I think we've got some smart people in charge who care a lot, as much as we do, about putting out quality content. And so I think at the end of the day, there's nothing to worry about. Like, we can sit here and speculate about it. We can voice concerns. We can wonder as we look forward to what we're going to get. I mean, it's hard not to. But I don't think we have to be worried. I think that Kathleen Kennedy, the story group, I think they get it, and I don't think that they are going to kill off the thing that we are so passionate about as fans. I don't think they're just going to leave us in the dirt, because they'd be leaving themselves in the dirt too, because A, they're fans as well, and B, it's kind of their job. They don't want to be out of one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and who wants to be known as, the person who ran Star Wars into the ground?
Yeah, I really hope too that they don't just kind of use, like, throw away Ray, Finn, and Poe, you know, after this is done. Well, I really hope that they continue to utilize them.
But you've got a good point about the fact that the best way to go forward might be to start with a clean slate, not undoing everything that happened, but just saying, okay, here's a new saga with new characters. Everything that came before mm-hmm. counts. I'm not saying do the whole Legends thing. I'm just saying, okay, that saga is done. Here's what's going on in a different part of the galaxy 20 years later. And just mm-hmm. start fresh. Because it does make it more accessible. It does reboot and reinvigorate. It doesn't reboot. It reinvigorates the franchise, especially for newcomers.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not do anything detrimentally to what came before.
Yeah. I think if you eventually... not you don't even have to kill off, but let's you don't use Leia and Luke, but you don't use, like, you know, R2 or 3PO or any of those things, and you just start even 5 years after episode 9, and you start with a clean, fresh trilogy or saga or whatever you're going to make it, you can use Rey, Finn, and Poe. You just you have to make a story that doesn't call back to the other 6 or the other 9 and make people say, well, I don't understand what's going on in this movie because I've not seen the other ones.
Well, hopefully
they can be curious about it, but right. They can't, you can't write it to where, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the beauty of the original trilogy, is that you can watch 4, 5, 6 and 7 and hopefully 8 and 9 without watching 1, 2 and 3.
Exactly. Because we did so for 25 years.
Yeah. And it, like, if the prequels never got made, Star Wars wouldn't be worse off. I mean,
Well, and a current example of that, too, is Saw Gerrera. If we assume they did things properly with Rogue One, you don't have to have seen his episodes in the Clone Wars to be able to understand anything about his character and what he's doing now in Rogue One and to understand the movie Rogue One.
Exactly.
So, yeah, if they bring Poe and Rey and Finn in that way, then that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of comes back. I know we're running a little long, but this kind of comes back to the idea of the sequel trilogy being about Luke. Because if you make about Rey, then you tie her to this saga and you can't use her going forward without going back. You know what I mean?
But I think they're going to have so much character development with her that she is going to be defined by this saga. If you use her in the future and you need to know anything about her, you're using her in a way in which you need to know that, you have to come back and watch these. So I worry that maybe they are making it so that that is going to be the case.
I just don't want to see 10, 11, and 12 be announced, and I'm just like, oh, really? I mean, I love Star Wars as much as the next person, but I don't want it to all go together and just get burnt out and overwhelmed.
I guess I would be okay with 10, 11, and 12.
I think 12 would be my breaking point.
Just as long as they take it somewhere new with new characters and we don't, like, here's the thing. In 10, in my personal opinion, we better not see... well, we're not going to see Han. We better not see Luke. We better not see Leia. And I dare say, hopefully, we won't even see Chewie unless, depends on the relationship between him and Rey going forward, I guess. But I want 10 to be one of those things where if someone watches it for the first time, they go back to the original trilogy and say, wait, who are these people? I'm with you on all of those points you've made, except I think I would be a little less bothered with the 10, 11, and 12 thing than it sounds like you might be, as long as they make it fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the episode here. Lou, anything you want to throw in at the last minute?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. All right, well, we want to hear what you want to throw in. after the last minute now, because you guys aren't here on the show with us. but you are listening now, and hopefully you have a way to email us, because we do want to hear from you. Send us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com. Let us know what you think about this. Again, we trust that things are going to go well and that things are going to move in the right direction. But in the meantime, while we don't know what that direction is, what are your thoughts on it? What would be the right direction for you? Where would you like to see things go? Again, echobase@randomchatter.com.
You can also find us online and other places. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have the EchoBase Twitter account. It's @EchoBasePodcast. Our network Twitter is @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Eric, what is your Twitter?
Mine is, let me think here for a second. Eric Blythe. It's ErikBlythe. No, it's not that I couldn't remember my name. It's that I couldn't remember what I use for Twitter. It's pretty sad.
How to spell it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, that too.
Lou, what is your Twitter?
Mine's just my name as well, Luseki, Luseki.
See, you guys need like clever names for your Twitter handles.
Yeah, but for that it would require us being clever.
I was gonna say I'm not that clever.
There's a prerequisite there that we don't meet.
Oh boy. Well, while you're online checking out stuff we do, you can also check out all the other shows we have in the network. We have an ever expanding plethora of shows to see. Random Chatter is out there, The Outer Rim, Green Justice, Scroll of Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, The Retro Convo, Suboff Table, Cordcast, and our newest Star Wars-related show, Ghost Stories.
Pretty soon it won't be the newest anymore.
Well, by the
beginning of the year, I was going to do it sooner, but with the difficulty in actually getting the product, I think we're going to launch our Star Wars Destiny podcast probably after the first of the year. Lou, you and I might be able to get some episodes in advance in prep for that, but
yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But,
I have yet to see them in the wild though myself.
Yeah. Me either. Yeah. We got to talk offline, cause I've got some updates for you in that regard.
Okay. Cool.
Anyway, so we would love it if you would let other people know about the show, spread the word. You know, there are a lot of podcasts out there covering Star Wars, but we like to think that we bring something different, whether good or bad. Whether you agree with us or not, we at least try to provide some insight and give our own opinions on things. And given that we're on this show and not other shows, this is the only place you can go to get that. So hopefully you enjoy it, you find it a benefit. And if you do, please tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is great. Leaving reviews for us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever, maybe even better, because it would reach more people. And of course, the more our community grows, if you are part of that community, that is also your community. So your community is also growing as well. So, you know, spread the word and leave reviews for us. We'd really appreciate it.
You can also listen live to our shows. We are live right now, actually. We on Monday nights, we do Echo Base at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. On Thursday nights, we do Random Chatter and Outer Rim. That's also at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. You can listen to that at randomchatter.com/live, and you can also search Ustream, or you go on Ustream and search Random Chatter. And fair warning, if we're not live just at 9, hang around for a little bit, because sometimes it takes us a little bit to get in the swing of things.
Yeah. Well, now that we're back doing, you know, the beginning of December, we said we're definitely going to be back doing live shows by then, and we are. And I try to throw something in the stream prior to us starting. Thursday, what was, oh, it was a Clueless Gamer with Conan O'Brien playing Final Fantasy 15 along with Elijah Wood. Today for Echo Base, it was the, bad lip reading Star Wars edition. So, you know, we try to throw some kind of little content there in the stream while we're, getting our last minute prep things done. So, but, oh, what else did I want to say? Oh, yeah, the community gaming stuff. We've had a little bit of a hiatus with that. I've been sick a lot. But that is going to be coming back now, too. And we are going to be doing that. We're going to make our primary night for that, I think, Wednesday nights. So Sunday nights, between the Walking Dead premiere and the Westworld premiere, and then the last two Westworld episodes. I've been getting feedback that maybe Sundays aren't quite as convenient for people as they once thought it was, and would we consider moving it? So we're going to make that Wednesday nights from now on. So just a heads up, about 9 p.m., that'll be on Twitch, twitch.tv/DarthDrathus. That's DarthDrathus. And then finally, thank you to everybody who's been helping support us on Patreon. We really appreciate the support. It does make a big difference. We launched some new perks in November. All of the donors now will have access to our Slack community, which I highly recommend because it's awesome. And it's awesome because of the people who are in it, not because of us. I just want to throw that out there. Credit where credit is due.
So what you're saying is that I'm not awesome?
I didn't say that you're not awesome. I said the community is awesome because of them. And not because of your awesomeness, Chris. See? I can see you. You thought you had me. Let's see. The video shows are going to be going live this month as well, based on the feedback from people at different perk levels. You get to contribute what you want the short-form video shows to cover. And we've had a couple of questions about the products that we will be offering through the Random Chatter store that we'll have set up pretty soon here. And we will break down by the end of this year what those different perks are going to be for the Random Chatter swag. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited.
I'm gonna get my hands on one of those.
I just like want, I don't know, baseball cap or...
If only I knew somebody to get me something like that.
I know, right? We'll have more info on that pretty soon, too. But, you know, once again, thanks to everybody from Patreon. If you're interested in helping support the network, even if it's just like a dollar, that's fine. Head over to Patreon.
A dollar gets you into Slack.
A dollar gets you into Slack, yeah. Less than the price of a small soda at McDonald's. Patreon.com/randomchatter. Check it out. And that's it. That is going to wrap up this episode of Echo Base. See, it was negative, but it wasn't a downer.
Right? No.
There were some positive, good things there, I think. So, all right. Well, we are going to close the blast doors here at Echo Base and get those space heaters turned back on. Stop letting all the heat out. And we will see you again next week. Take care.
The Force will be with you always.